Okay, good morning. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see everybody here. If I could remind you, please, to turn off your phones. I say that every week, and every week someone's phone goes off. That seems to be the Minog. But if I could remind you, please, and I could also thank the sponsor today, Shear. As with all the Shearim for the academic year 2022, have been sponsored for an Aliyah for the Neshamas of Brana Bas Bendit and Zeli Ben Kalman. We're very grateful for the sponsorship. Now, in about 2 weeks from now, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Jewish people, mostly men but increasing number of women, will be performing a strange religious ritual that they only do once every 7 years, which is the making of a prosbul. I'd like to go into what's really going on there, why are we doing that, and explain a little bit how the mechanism of prosbul works. We started last week by looking at Shmitat Kesafim, at what loans are released during in the Shemitah year, at the end of the Shemitah year. And I'm not going to go over that again. But there are a significant number of different kinds of loans, maybe even wages, we talked about that, maybe even money that you owe to shops, we talked about that. And if one doesn't deal with, we'll define that, the situation, then those loans will be cancelled at the end of the Shemitah year. Well, of course, that's what the Torah wants, isn't it? That the Torah wants those loans to be cancelled. That's the whole point, so that poor people get a chance to have a start over, and etc. And there's an even bigger start every 50 years when we used to have Yovel. So why is it that we feel so proud of ourselves in devising a mechanism which cleverly avoids the very thing that the Torah told us to do? And that's a topic which actually, those of you who are familiar with the Shira over the last few years, Baruch Hashem, I try to look to the meta-halachic or even hashkafic angles that underpin the halacha rather than just go through halacha. And I want to get to that in earnest next week, because that actually is, to my mind, the more, you know, the broader and more interesting question, which is, how do we justify ha'arama? This clever, slightly deceitful, but in a positive way. Why are we so proud of that, with the Talmudic thumb that we put up and say, look how clever we are. We managed to get around a loophole. We'll define loopholes, what that means. Why is that okay? And why is it sometimes not okay? We'll see that the rabbis were very concerned to avoid people playing fast and loose with the spirit of the law. And yet sometimes that's exactly what we seem to be doing. I heard a story once from a gentleman who was at a dinner, a kosher dinner many years ago in London, and he happened to have a priest, non-Jewish priest, sitting next to him. So anyway, he started dinner, he was talking to the priest, and he started eating his bread roll, and the priest turned around to him and said, forgive me for asking, but I may be wrong here, but isn't there a commandment for you to ritually wash your hands, to sanctify yourself before you eat bread? He goes, yes, yes, that's right. And don't you have to have a special blessings afterwards to thank God for the bread? Like, he says, yes, yes, normally, yes. He says, so why aren't you doing that? You're a religious Jew. He says, well, we've invented something called mazonos bread. And it's so clever. You don't have to wash. You don't have to bench. And the guy looked at him and said, I don't understand. God gives you a commandment to sanctify yourselves and thank him and bless him for the food. And you're proud of yourself that you've invented a way to avoid that? How does that work? That's a good question. That's a good question. And we'll talk about that question next week when we get into the deeper issues of Ha'arama. And actually, even deeper than that, do we ever know the reasons for the mitzvot? Can we turn around and say, well, that goes against the spirit of the law? How do you know the spirit of the law? God told you to do this and not do that. If it's technically correct, maybe that's all you need to worry about. How do you even know what the spirit of the law is? And actually, that will introduce some Rosh Hashanah themes round the back door, because the discussion in the Gemara as to whether we do or don't know the spirit of the law, or we just know the legal definitions, is in Tkiyah Shofar. So that will link us very beautifully with Rosh Hashanah, please God, and we'll get into that mood as well. But today we have to look at prosbul. And prosbul is, I make no apologies, although I kind of apologize for that in advance, but the fact that it's very technical. Okay, so we're going to have to wrap our heads around a little bit of Choshen Mishpat. Okay, we had 4 shurim on music. We can't all be music and laughter in life. Sometimes we have to actually look at the hard details. And we don't get a chance much in these shurim to get ourselves into Choshen Mishpat. into the monetary and legal, civil legal aspects of the law, but we will today when we define really what's going on. So actually many of the topics are fascinating, and I'll try and give you some underlying themes as well here, but let's get into this. So fine, last week we said that debts are released at the end of the Shemitah year. So what is a prosbul? So let's start from the Mishnah in Shviyas in Perek Yud. Number one. So says the Mishnah, Hamalva al Hamashkoin. If somebody loans money, but they take collateral, meaning a creditor gives a loan, but they take a watch or a piece of jewelry or something as collateral that if they don't pay, they'll keep the collateral. That's one example. The Hamaisa Shtaroisav Lebeistin, or if someone assigns, someone transfers or sells, I'll use the word assign or transfer because my legal brain comes out with that, someone who assigns their debts to the Beistin, Eino Mashamtin. They're not released. Why not? Why is it that if I've loaned you money but I'm holding collateral, or if I've sold my debts, my loans to the base, then Shmita doesn't release those loans. He doesn't say why right now, but we'll look at Rai in the Bar Tanura, we'll look at the reasons and we'll see these as we come out. So the Bar Tanura, we haven't even got to Prosbul yet. The Bar Tanura says as follows, number two. Hamalva al Mashko, Dichsiv, because it's said in the Pasuk, Va'asheyihye lecha et achicha tashmit yadecha. Whatever your property is in the hands of your brother, that has to be released. So if my property, if my money is in the borrower's hands, so I have to release that. But if his money is in my hands, his property is in my hands, i.e. collateral, okay, that's not what we're talking about. The Pasuk's only talking about where my property is in his hands, not where some of his is in mine. That's not released. Prat, that excludes lezesh sheyesh l'achicha b'yadecha, what you are holding of his property. So that's one example. That's why a mashkon is not released. The hamaisish darotho lebeistin. Why, if I sell my debts to Beistin, my loans to Beistin, is that not released? Because it says v'ashia lecha esachicha. What you have owing to you by your brother, prat, that excludes lemaisish darotho lebeistin. If the Beistin have now taken an assignment of those loans, shebeistin yesh lehem zeachoy etzalachiv. Okay, meaning, if Beistin have to enforce the loans, Beistin is not a brother. Beistin is not another person. Beistin is a legal institution. Now, interesting, we talked a little bit last week about whether a company is an abstract, independent personality, or whether a company is just a partnership of the people who own and manage the company. Maybe in halacha you could view a company as a partnership of the managing owners. Maybe. But a Beistin is for sure not a partnership of the three individual Dayanim. The three Dayanim, or more, sitting on the Beistin, do not have personal responsibility for what's going on. The Beistin is an independent body. And therefore, says the Torah, if a Beistin is owed loans, then that's not cancelled by Shemitah, because it has to be Achicha Re'ehu, and that's not included. Okay, very interesting. It sounds from this that this is a Torah law. Wherever the debts are assigned to a Beis Din, that's not cancelled. Yes?
I think you forgot to dedicate this year.
To who?
To memories, right?
No, I did. I can do it again, but I think it's always good to remind me, because I might forget. Okay, good. That's the starting point. But no one mentioned Prosbul here. No one mentioned Prosbul. It seems to be an independent law. Goes on the Mishnah number 3 and says, Prosbul Einu Mashalit. And a prosbul doesn't release, the loans are not released either. Now, our big question for today is this something different? Is this something new? Meaning, one case is I sell my loans to the Beis Din. That doesn't get released. Another case is prosbul separate. Or are they the same thing? If they're the same thing, why are they in different mishnayot? You'd expect it to be the same. We'll talk about that soon. But first of all, let's talk about this strange word, a prosbul. Whenever did you hear a word in Hebrew like prosbul? It doesn't sound Hebrew. So that's because it's Greek. It's not Hebrew. If you look in the Gemara here in number 4, the Gemara doesn't talk about the Greek origins, although the Mefarshim do. Let's start with the Gemara's understanding. Says number 4, my prosbul. And here it says it with a samach, not a zayin. So it's sometimes written prosbul and sometimes written prosbul, but it's the same thing. By the way, if you ever look it up in Hebrew, try both. You might look it up with a zayin and it's really with a samach, and you always try both. Amar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda says, this is what it is. Prosbuli ubuti. It's made up of three different words. A pros, which seems to be the word for an assignment, an enactment, an ordinance or a benefit, for the bully and the booty. Who are the bully and who are the booty? And if that's the word, why isn't it called a pros bully booty? It's called a pros bull. What happened to the booty? So we'll see. So it says the Gemara, bully, elu ashirim. The bully are the rich. And he brings a source, Dichsev, bring a posik from the Tochacha, Vashavati, as going uzchem, I will break the pride of your strength. Tani, Rav Yosef used to teach on this, Elu bul ois Shebi Yehuda. These are the rich people in Yehuda. This is a Tochacha that they will suffer if they don't keep Torah. The rich are the bulim. Okay, bully means rich. Great. Buti, what are the buti? Elu anim, these are the poor. Dichsev, the ha'aveit taviteno. You shall surely take pledges, meaning it's a mitzvah to loan, and the word ha'aveit, ayin vet tet, is connected with but, this kind of, it depends whether you go with two-letter roots or three-letter roots. Even though you can't get maybe very excited about this today, 1,000 years ago there was a great deal of grammatical excitement to whether Hebrew is two-letter roots or three-letter roots. And this was one of the fundamental disputes between Donash ibn Laprat, the famous composer of Dror Yikra and other songs, and Menachem ibn Shaprut, as to whether Hebrew had two or three letter roots. I'm not getting into that now. Yes. Oh, I'll get to the Greek in a minute. Okay? Dichsiv, you say ha'avet avitenu, and therefore the buti are the poor. It's a kind of connection with this bet tet root. Fine. So it's an ordinance for the rich and the poor. Rava says to him, sorry, I'm a Rava Loaza. Rava said to a Loaza, what's a Loaza? What's Laaz? Foreigner. Maybe it means here a linguist, somebody who knew languages. My prosbul, he heard him using the word prosbul in a foreign language. He said, ooh, what do you understand by that word? That's funny, because we use that word as well. So he said, Amalei prusa de milsa. The enactment of the thing, where you have an enactment. That's called a prosbul in a foreign language. And in fact, the Greek, which is fascinating, the Greek I brought you over the page on page 2 footnote number 6, I brought you the Greek. If you look in the Jastrow or other dictionary, you'll see that a prosbutes is an ambassador, a bulbutes is a senator, and most importantly, the prosbulibuti was the local council. The pros bully bulletin in Greek means the assembly of the counselors. And therefore, if you Google the word bulle, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, B-O-U-L-E, that is the name for the Greek, the ancient Greek, and as far as I'm aware, the modern Greek legislative name for the local council. So a pros bully butte means something you do in front of the local council. Okay, that's interesting. That's the Greek connection. By the way, if you go with the Aramaic, why is it called a pros bull, where the bull are the rich, not a pros but, where the but are the poor? Meaning, who is it really helping? Is the pros bull really helping the rich man, or is the pros bull really helping the poor man? Well, it's helping both, because don't forget, we'll see in a minute, the purpose of pros bull is that people stop loaning money because they didn't want to lose the money in Shemitah, so it helps the poor, because they get their loans, because the people will loan, because the loan won't be cancelled, but it helps the rich, because they get their money back, and it helps the rich, says the Gra, because it saves them from the Avera of refusing to lend money, because the Shemitah year is coming. And we are focused on the Avera angle, so we call it a prosbul. Okay, we could give a whole shir on the etymology of prosbul, but that wouldn't be as interesting, I think, to most people. But let's get into the real meat of what the prosbul, or the prosbuli buti, as it was, really means. Number 5, page 2. Prosbul einu mashamit. The prosbul doesn't, loans are not released with a prosbul. Ze echad min advarim shehitkin Hillel Hazaken. Oh, now we get a bit of background. It says the Mishnah. This is one of the institutions of Hillel Hazaken. Hillel Hazaken lived at the end of the Second Temple period, around the, you know, BCE to CE switchover, because they didn't call it that then. He saw that the people weren't lending money anymore to each other. The Ovrim al Mashikos of Torah, they were breaking the Torah mitzvah. Hisham elecha, watch out, pen ye davar im levavcha bilial. Watch out that there's no bad thing, worthless thing in your heart, and you've refused to loan because the Shemitah year is coming. And therefore, hitkin hela leprosbul. Therefore, he created the prosbul so that people wouldn't break this law. Now, let's just think for a second. At the time, We'll see this in the Gemara. Was Shemitah in effect on a Torah level or a rabbinic level? What did we say last week? Rabbinic. And we'll see in a minute that according to many of the Rishonim, Prosvel only works because Shemitah itself is Darabonon. It wouldn't work, according to some, if it was Daraita. So why is Hillel worried about people refusing to lend money? They could turn around and say, what are you talking about? There's no Torah mitzvah anymore. It's all Darabonon. Okay, Darabonon, I'm not going to lend money. I'll worry about the rabbinic infringement. I'm not going to lend my money. There's not even a Torah law to release. So it could be, even if technically Shemitah is not Daraita, for people to refuse lending money to the poor, under any circumstances, still is Daraita. It's tzedakah. It's avasita hayashar v'hatov. Meaning it's still a davar bili'al, in case you come to me and say, well, technically they were only breaking a rabbinic law. No, they weren't. They were breaking still a Torah law by refusing to give money to people. Hillel came along and said, you've got to keep lending, therefore we're going to keep your loans alive. Dalet in number 5, zeu gufa shel prosbul, and this is basically what the prosbul needs to say. Maiser, look carefully at this. Maiser ani lachem, we're going to see a deed in a minute. I am handing over to you, ish ploini u ploini hadayanim, you sir and sir the dayanim, I'm giving over to you, shebamok and ploini, who are sitting as a basin in this place, shekol chayv sheyeshli, any loan that is owing to me, sheagvanu kozman sheeretzah, that I can collect it whenever I want. The hadayanim chaitmim, and the dayanim sign on the D, lemat at the bottom, or ha'edim, or the edim. Either the edim sign, or the dayanim sign. Now, there's a few strange things about that. What is this person signing when he signs a prosbul? I'm signing in front of you that I can collect whenever I want. Well, one second, isn't the whole point that I've signed over the debts to the beis din? They should be the one that's collecting whenever they want. Why am I still involved? I've just given my debts to them. That's one question. And also, the dayanim can sign or the edim? Well, make your mind up. Is this a beis din that's doing this? Or is this not a beis din? If it's a beis din action, then the dayanim have to sign on the bottom. It's called a ma'aseh bet din. If the edim sign, then there's something really key that's missing here. Also, who are going to be your dayanim? We'll see this in a minute. Who are we going to pick? Are we going to all line up outside the supreme bet din in Yerushalayim with our prosbuls in hand, going in to wait till the chief rabbi signs on our prosbul? Or are we just going to get three guys together when we do our Hataris Nadorim and say, okay, here, this is extended Hataris Nadorim, build this into your Erev Rosh Hashanah schedules, okay? We're going to get three guys together, we're going to have prosbuls, and we're all going to sanction prosbuls. Oh, that's a beis din. What's going on here? Is this a joke? It's real? How does that work? We'll see how that works as we go through. But that's the basic Mishnaic analysis as to how that works. Fine. Number 6. Says the Gemara. The Gemara picks up on the Mishnah and says, one second, how does this work? Mi ikamidi. Could there be such a thing? Do mi do'oraita mishamta shvius? On a Torah level, shvius has released it. How could it be that if the Torah says the loan is gone, the hitkin hillel d'loi mishamta? And Hillel can come along and reverse the Torah? Now, the rabbis have powers, but they can't tell you that something which is prohibited is now permitted. How can they do that? If the rabbis came along and said, you know something, pork is now kosher. It's not kosher. They have no power to do that. There's such a thing as a horat shah, that the Sanhedrin or a Navi can make a one-off temporary dispensation, like Eliyahu on Har HaKarmel, who said, today you can all offer on a bama. On a non-temple mizbeach. You can do that. But to make a law for all time, you can't reverse what the Torah says. Now, the rabbis did have the power to say, Shev al taseh, don't do something that the Torah said yes to do. For example, don't blow shofar when it's on Shabbos. Don't shake lulav when it's on Shabbos. That they can do. But they can't tell you to break a negative commandment, which is, you know, do not enforce this loan. How can they let you do that? So two answers, and these two answers are important. Amar Abaya, Abaya answers, Bishvis Bizmanazer, the Rebbe he. This is Shvius only today, Rebbe, and Rebbe's opinion is Shvius is Shemitah is the Rabbanon. Okay, now my problem's gone away. The rabbis brought in the issue, the rabbis can take away the issue. The rabbis created the rabbinic level of Shemitah, because the Torah is now gone because there's no Yovel. We saw last week Shemitah is connected to Yovel. And because there's no Yovel, because the tribes are not living in their ancestral lands already in the first temple. So there's no Shemitah. So the rabbis introduced rabbinic, so they can take away rabbinic. What's called Heim Amru, V'heimamru. They said this, they can take it away again. So that's one answer. V'tiknu zekinu rabbanon, and the rabbis made a rabbinic law to tashamid zeichel shvius, that you should release your loans zeichel shvius, to remember Shemitah, but it's not really doraita. V'ra Hillel, and Hillel came along, shenimnu ha'am, and he saw the people weren't loaning. And he said, okay, I'm making an exception to the rabbinic law. Shkoyach, that's not a problem. So that would work. That's one answer. Rava Amar, Rava says no. Hefka based in Haya Hefka. And this is why this shir actually is fascinating. We're bringing in lots of fundamental, momentous issues. Hefka based in Hefka. What does Hefka based in Hefka means? And the Gemara then goes on, I didn't bring it to derive. Where do we get that idea from? In Psukim, that the Beis Din have the power to expropriate property from people. Hefka based in Hefka. So according to Rava's answer, even if Shemitah still works on a Torah level, the rabbis can come along and say, you know something? Yes, the Torah is meant to release the money and give it back to the lender, let the lender keep it, the borrower keep it, but we're taking that away from you and giving it to you. We have the power to do that. Hefka based in Hefka. Now, of course, the main difference between a buyer and Rava is a buyer says, this only works, Prosbul only works when Shemitah is the Rabbanon. Whereas a Rava says, no, Prosbul works when Shemitah is the Oraita. And that, of course, will have an impact on if Shemitah gets an upgrade, if that's a big question, will it or won't it? Let's say when the majority of Jews live in Eretz Israel, and actually it might not get an upgrade even there, even then, will we still be able to use a Prosbul, yes or no? If the answer is like Abaya, then no. If the answer is like Rava, then yes. Okay, watch this space. We'll see how that happens. Now, who should we paskin like? Abaya or Rava? This is another Shas principle. Who do we paskin like? Abaya versus Rava?
Abaya.
We paskin like Rava. Except in six cases. Yalkagam. If anyone ever says to you, comes up to you at a bus stop in the street and says to you, Yalkagam, they're not speaking Romanian. They are telling you that they're learning the law in the Gemara that we always paskin like Rava, except in the cases of Yalkagam, Yud, Ayin, Lamed, Kuf, Gimel, Mem, and I'm not going to go through them now, but I thought this was a good opportunity to give you a footnote listing what the Yalkagam are. There are six cases where we paskin like Abaya and not like Rava, but every other case we paskin like Rava. So this is not one of the six. So we should paskin like Rava, which is Prosbul works even if it's Doraita. It's not restricted to Rabbanon. So everybody then is scratching their heads when the Rambam doesn't do that. Go over the page to page 3. Says the Rambam. Let's have a look here. Number 7. Hamosish darois of the Beis Din. If someone assigns their loans to a Beis Din, va'amalahem and says to the Beis Din, atem gavu lichaybi, you collect my loans. Which is interesting because that's not what it sounds like. Okay. Ze einu nishmat. Then the loans are not released. Whatever you have to enforce against your brother, and it's not you that's enforcing, it's the Beis Din, and they're not a person, an individual person. Fine. The chaim Beis Din shechatchu et adin, and any law, any ruling the Beis Din made, because let's say they wrote, ish pleini atachayev liten ze kach v'kach, you are found liable to pay X, Y to this person, ein onishma, these are not released either, shezek gavui. This is as if it's already been collected. We'll come back to that soon. It's not like a loan, because when the Beis Din says that you're liable to pay, they have sufficient powers to enforce, and you can, the money's in the bank. Yeah, if someone owes me money and the Beis Din has ruled on it, you owe him money, then that's money in the bank. That's not released because I basically have it. All it needs is for the Beis Din to go and confiscate it. Fine. And says the Rambam, Kishera'a Hillel Hazakin. Different halacha, new halacha. When Hillel Hazakin saw Shinimlu Milahavo, Zed, the people weren't learning to each other, Va'ivrim alakosta Sheba Torah, Hishamelacha, and they were breaking the Torah law, be careful, Penye, Gavar, etc., etc. Hitkin Prosbul Kadeshalo Yishmat, Shamit Achayv, so that the Chayv, the loan wouldn't be released, Ad Shilavo Zed, so that people would loan to each other. The Eina Prosbul Moyel Ela Bishmita Ksafim Bizman Hazer. And Prosbul only works today when Shemitah is Shehimi Divrei Sofrim, when it's the Rabbanon. Aval Shemitah Shel Torah, Ein Prosbul Moyel Zer Bezer Abba. Shemitah doesn't, Prosbul doesn't work. Well, one second, why are you passing it like a buyer? You're not allowed to pass it. You know the rule, Rav Moshe Ben Maimon. You know you're not allowed to pass it like a buyer except in one of the six cases. And that's exactly what the Rivet jumps in and says. This makes no sense in the Rashi script, says the Rivet. Da Abaya hu da amahaki. It's Abaya that said the rabbinic side of things. Rava disagreed. The Amar Hefka based in Hefka. He gave the rule of Hefka based in Hefka. The Hilchach Noel Becholzma. And therefore Shmita applies in all times, not just when it's the Rabbana. So what are you doing paskening like Abaya over Rava? So they answer the Rambam's psak. They can explain. People explain the Rambam's psak in a couple of ways. Number one, some people explain, well, look, the rule of Yal Kagam only happens when Rava and Abaya have their own halachas and they disagree with each other. Then you always pass it like Rava, except in six cases. But when they're trying to explain why someone else has a halacha, here they're not bringing in their own ideas, remember. They're just saying, why did Hillel, how does this work, this law that Hillel brought in? Abaya says, well, I think it's because of this. And Rava says, well, I think, okay, so maybe that rule of Yal Kagam doesn't apply then. It's not their halachas. Okay, that's interesting. But more fundamentally, others come along and say, no. Really, Abaya and Rava are not arguing about the rabbinic issue. Everybody agrees, according to the Rambam, that Shemitah only works the Prosbel only works when it's Shemitah Darabonah. So what are they disagreeing about? They're disagreeing about whether Hefka based in Hefka helps or not. And here we get into areas which I'm not going into because it's too complicated. But just know that there's a debate. How does Hefka based in Hefka work? Does it mean that the based in can take away your property? So now it's Hefka. Now if it's Hefka, then anyone can take it. Or does it mean that the based in can take away your property and give it to somebody else? Two stages rather than one. And maybe that's what they're arguing about, but again, that takes us too far beyond, but that's part of the lomdus that's going on here. So maybe the Rambam holds that everyone agrees it's the Rabbanon, it's based on the Shmita being rabbinic, it's just a question of how Hefka based in works. Okay, fine. We'll get back to the Rambam soon. Let's ask now, more fundamentally, how does the Prosbel work? What does it do? What's its mechanism? How does it help you when you sign this little document in a week and a half, 2 weeks? What does it do? So basically, there are four views. We'll deal with them quite quickly. But there are four different views as to how Prosbel works. Then we'll look at the documents itself. Rashi says Prosbel is exactly the same thing as assigning your debts to the Beis Din. They are the same thing. Look at Rashi number 8. Says Rashi, Moisesh Taros of the Beis Din, if someone assigns their loans to the Beis Din, who Prosbel? This is equal to exactly the same as Prosbel, Shehitkin, Hillel, etc., that Hillel enacted. According to Rashi, they are the same thing. And Rashi has support. There's a midrash that when he quotes the laws that someone can assign their debts to Beis Din, it says, Mikan Hitkin Hillel Prosbel, the words I underlined in number 9, and this is why Hillel enacted the Prosbel. So it says Rashi, they are the same thing. Prosbel equals assigning your loans to the Beis Din. That's nice and simple. They are basically the same thing. The problem with Rashi is, well, if they're the same thing, why aren't they in the same Mishnah? Two different Mishnahs. First Mishnah says, assign your loans to the Beis Din. And the next Mishnah says, and the Prosbel. Sounds like they're different things. Okay, Rashi says they're the same thing. Tosfos says, I know that Rashi says this, number 10, Peirush HaKuntras Dehainu Prosbel. Rashi says this equals Prosbel. V'loy Nira, I don't agree. To have a Masechah Shvi'is, because if you look in the Mishnah, Tani Hamosish Daras of Beis Din, it first of all teaches you can assign your loans to the Beis Din, Vahada Katani Prosbel, and then it teaches separately Prosbel. Einu Mashamah, the Prosbel is not released. Alma Trei Milininhu, they must be two different things. So what did Hillel add? According to Rashi, they all came as one package. Hillel brought in the idea that Shmita is Rabbanon, and the Prosbel is an exception. Tosfos says, no, this is how it works. There was always a Torah law. Look at the Ephesians. Lachach nira de trei milininu u'maisish deraisiv lebeisim midoraita. If you sell your loans to the Beis Din, that always worked, going back generations before Hillel. But what? But it was pasnished. It's a loophole. You're going to get away with, you're going to get around Shemitah by selling your... Yes, it works if you sell your loans to the Beis Din. But come on, that's not in the spirit of the law. That was the original state. Hillel came along and said, okay, you know something? There's a worse problem that's going on now. I agree it's not great when people try and get around the law, but now nobody's lending any money. So all Hillel did is allow people to do what was originally possible but frowned upon, which is interesting, because it's the lesser of two evils. We'll talk about this next week. Which is the lesser of two evils? Playing around with the law and being technical? And by the way, people have always criticized us for this. Look at Shylock in The Merchants of Venice. The pound of flesh. Yeah? Well, technically, the pound of... Basically, Shakespeare makes fun of the whole concept of halacha by saying that these Jews are just technical Jews and this and if that...
Yeah,
That's an interesting question. Shakespeare and the Jews, you can write a PhD on that, you won't be the first. How did Shakespeare know Jews? Now, Rembrandt, talking about art, he knew lots of Jews in Amsterdam, and he met them and he painted them. But Shakespeare, in theory, there were no Jews in London when Shakespeare was in London, and certainly no Jews in Stratford. Don't think there ever were any Jews in Stratford. The question is, were there hidden Jews? Were there people under the radar? There were Jews in London way before Shakespeare, but they were thrown out at the end of the 13th century. Shakespeare's living in the end of the 16th century. So what's going on here? Okay, that's a good question, but the Merchant of Venice, is the Merchant of Venice anti-Semitic? Is it not anti-Semitic? Is the opposite of anti-Semitic? Is it philo-Semitic? That's another shear, but it's not from me. Okay, fine. So that's Tosis. Which is the lesser of two evils? Hillel said, better you should use technical language, but at least people will learn. Along comes the Ritva and says, you know something? Totally different understanding. He quotes Rashi, he quotes Tosis, and he says, no. What does Prosbul do? Prosbul allows you to declare your assignment of the loans without actually handing over the documents. That's what Hillel said. Meaning you could always hand over, assign your loans, but if I assign my loans to the Beis Din, I need to walk into the Beis Din with a file. These are my loans, and I'm assigning them to you, and now you hold them like you would with a lawyer. Says the Ritva that Hillel just brought in, no, you can just do it balpe. I can assign them to you without bringing them in. We'll get back to that soon. But the Rambam is the interesting shita here, because the Rambam has a very extreme shita. And the Rambam says, you know something? Prosbul has got nothing to do with assigning your loans to the Beis Din. It's a completely independent idea, which is fascinating, which doesn't seem to match, does it? But we'll see right now. Have a look in number 12 and 13. Now, this is not foolproof because there are different girsaot, but look at the difference between the Midrash, the Sifrei, and the Mishnah. Number 12, the language of the Sifrei is, V'zehu gufa shel prosbul. This is what the prosbul is. Moisrani ani lachem. I hand over to you, ploini or ploini hadayanu shebamakam ploini, kol chayv sheyeshli. Every debt that I own, I hand over to you. Shegvena kozman sheyeh, so that I can collect them when I need. That's the language of the Sifrei. However, the Mishnah, and the Rambam's focusing on the Mishnah, says zeu gufa shel prosbul, moise ani lachem. Now he doesn't say moisrani ani. What's the difference between moisrani ani and moise ani? So the Rambam says moise ani means in number 14. Meid ani as etkaim. I am telling you now. I'm not giving you anything. Moise ani, to give over information. Moise ani lachem ish ploni u ploni hadayon shemakim ploni. And he adds in a shin. The Mishnah adds a shin. She kol chayv sheyeshli agvanu. Meaning, I'm not giving you anything. I'm not assigning you my debts. I am just making a declaration in front of you that I will be enforcing these debts, and that's enough. I'm just telling you this is what I'm going to do. Okay, that's interesting. So actually nobody's assigning anything to anybody, and it's nothing to do with the halakha of assigning your debts to the Beis Din. Yes, that works, but that's not what a prosbul is. Rambam says it's just I'm handing over to you. So
that would fit with the Gemara. That would explain why there's a separate...
Yes, exactly. Exactly. The Hillel did something completely new. The question is then, well, why do I need a Beis Din? Why can't I just stand up in front of two Adim and say, I'm just declaring right here and now that I'm going to be collecting these debts? Why do I even need a Beis Din? Something to do with the Beis Din. If you look in the Rambam, look in number 15, look at the last two lines. The Rambam says, Ein kaisvin prosbul elecha chamim gedolim b'yoseh. You have to have the greatest rabbis imaginable, ke Beis Din shel Rebbe Ami v'Rebbe Asi, just like the Beis Din of Rebbe Ami v'Rebbe Asi. We'll see where he gets this from. Shehein ru'uim lahavkia momen b'nei adam, that they are people who are capable of expropriating money. Aval shar bati dinim ein kaisvin. But you can't just take a regular three guys, stick them on a chair, and say, do it. Now, you need a real chash of a Beis Din. Okay, first of all, how am I ever going to find these people? I'm not going to be, Erev Rosh Hashanah, the whole Jewish world is going to be knocking on their door. But also, like, according to you, the Rambam, why do I even need any Beis Din? So, interestingly, the Rambam, if you just look a few halachas later in the same chapter, he says, you know something? I'll let you in on a secret. You don't really need a Beis Din. It's only for the masses, for the unwashed hoi polloi, that they need to go to a Beis Din. But if you really know what you're doing, look at number 16, says the Rambam, Talmidei Chachamim, great rabbis, scholars, Shehilvu Zedze, that lent to each other, Umasa Dvarav LeTalmidim, okay, the Amma, and then they go up to the Talmidim and they say to them, Moisrani Lechem Shekol Chav Sheyesh Leish Yagven Kol Zman Sheeretze, Eina tzarech lichtav prosbul. They don't need to write a prosbul. Why? Because we trust them. Mipnei sheheim yoidim sheashmitzes kesafim bizman hazeh midivreihem. They know why prosbul works. They know it's because shmitzes drabonim, which is the Rambam's approach. Ubedvarim bilvad hu nidkes. And you could just push it off with a statement. But the unwashed masses, I'm not implying that they don't wash, that's just an expression, okay? But the point is, like during the 3 weeks, maybe we'd say that in 9 days. But the point is, there's a Rambam, but regular people, we don't trust. You're going to stand up and make a declaration that the Torah doesn't apply? Where's that going to lead? People are going to stand up and say all sorts of things to a non-kosher food. You're kosher, you're kosher, you're kosher. Magic, it's not Shabbos, it's not Shabbos. People are going to say you can just say and the Torah gets reversed. We don't trust you with that. If you're a big Talmud Chacham, fine. Because Prosbul's got nothing to do with the Beis Din. But if you're not a Talmud Chacham, we don't trust you. Says the Ravid, I don't get this. Dvarav Soshim Zed Zed. This doesn't make any sense. You don't need a Beis Din. And really what's going on here is the Rambam's telling you he doesn't think Prosbul has anything to do with Beis Din in practice. Therefore we have these four approaches as to what Prosbul actually, how it works, the mechanism. Rashi says it's the same as assigning your loans. Tosfos says, it's not, but it's giving you the ability to do that which used to be frowned upon, but now it's okay. The Ritva says, it's giving you the ability to assign the loans without handing over the documents. And the Rambam says, nothing to do with Beis Din. It just gives you the ability to make a statement, and pff, all the Shemitah problems go away. Because it's the Rabbanon, and the rabbis built this in. Interesting, fascinating.
It sounds like the Muslim custom of divorce.
Where is it?
You say three times.
Okay, so I think if you need to bring in an Islamic scholar to teach Islamic law. I'm not the person to talk about that, but maybe, I don't know. Okay, fine. So that's quite technical. Let's get into what does the shtar do? So there's an interesting machlokes which I'm not getting into in detail here, but 18 and 19 give you two sides of a different perspective on the shtar. There's a law that's written down, written in the Mishnah, that we didn't read, which is a prosbul is not allowed to be post-dated. You can't post-date the shtar. Let's say you make a prosbul in Kislev, you do it earlier in the year, but you date it Iyar. You can't do that because then it looks as though it's cancelling debts that it didn't really cancel, all the things you did between Kislev and Iyar, and you're defrauding people. Says the Ran, well, I don't know, if it's not really about the Beis Din, if it's not really about the Shtar, then why do I care? It's just about what the guy said, what the guy did. The Shtar just records it. You don't even need a Shtar. You can do the whole thing orally. If you don't need a Shtar, then why do you care what the date says? You don't need it at all. If the prosbul was undated, it's kosher. So why do you care what the date says? It must be that you do need a Shtar. And that there are two kinds of Shtaros in halachic thought, just like there are two kinds of edim. Sometimes a shtar does the actual legal effect of the thing you're trying to do. When you hand over a get, the shtar, the get itself, affects the divorce. The get does it. But sometimes a shtar is just a record. This is what the people did. A ksuba. A ksuba doesn't actually affect anything. A ksuba is just a record that this person agreed on this day that he was going to be responsible in this way to his wife. And this document is what's called a shtar edus. It just gives testimony that this is what happened. Different kinds of shtaris. Says the Ran, this must be the shtar. It can't be post-dated. It must be this is a shtar kiyum. The shtar actually works like a get. It actually does the thing. Other people, the Rivash says, no, I don't agree. It's not, you don't even need a shtar. If you have a shtar, it's just a shtar edus. And therefore there's a machlokas, just like with edim. When you have two edim, why do you need the edim? So sometimes they're edei raya, right? Edei raya means they're just keen to give proof that this is what happened. Edim, for example, who say, I saw this person driving in this way and in this way, and he knocked over this person's car and whatever. If I have a video that shows that, because it was caught by CCTV, then why do I need the edim? I can see it on the video. All the edim do is they come to give backup. Yeah, we saw this. Edei raya, they're giving proof. Sometimes, however, edim are kiyum. The edim make the thing happen. For example, the edim under a chuppah. The edim under a chuppah are not edei raya. They're not there to say, we saw the guy give a ring. If you have a CCTV coverage of a chuppah, and everybody's watching, but there's no edim there, it's not a chuppah, it's not a kiddushin. It didn't happen. Yeah, but everybody just watched it on TV. The answer is, no, you need edim there. The edim actually make it work. So just like there are two kinds of Edim, Edim that make it work and Edim just say this is what happened, so too there are two different kinds of Shtaros. Some Shtaros make it work like a get, and some Shtaros just say this is what happened, and there's a debate as to how the Prosbul works, not going further into this now. Fine. Based in. So how does it work with the based in? Does there even need to be a based in? So if you look, we'll look at these two issues, and then we'll look at the Rav Rimon's wording, and you'll see how that works. So number 20, says Yerushalmi says an interesting thing. Number 20, bottom of page 5. Hadayanim choytzmim lamata or ha'edim. He quotes the Mishnah, the Dayanim sign the prosbul, or the Edim sign the prosbul. Rabbi Chizkiah b'shem Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Chizkiah says in the name of Yirmiyah, afilu netunim b'Rome, even if they're located in Rome. Who's in Rome? The Shtaros are in Rome? The loans are in Rome? The Dayanim are in Rome? Who's in Rome? So says the Ran, the loans are in Rome. Number 21. Hitkin demus vesiris mili ba'alma. It's just telling you that just by a verbal declaration in front of the base, then sagi, that's okay. Da'afilu ein hashtaros b'yado. Even if you're not holding the loan, I don't have the loan documents right here. They're in a bank in Rome. But there has to be a based in. There has to be an actual based in there. You can't have a virtual based in. You don't have to have the loan documents. They're in Rome, but the based in has to be there. Says the Mordechi, number 22, Afil in the Sunim Baromi. The Mordechi was, of course, Ashkenazi, and the Ran was Sephardi. Then the Mordechi turns around and says, Perush Hadayonim. The Dayonim are in Rome. Okay, so you're making a statement to a virtual based in sitting in Rome, that you're testifying that you're selling your loans. Look at what he says. Koloma, Yochel Lomer.
Before Zoom existed.
Before what? Before Zoom existed. Mosrani Leplani, Uplani, Adayan Shibamakam Plani. Meaning, what the Prosbul is, I'm making a declaration to these Dayanim who are sitting in a completely different country. Hafilu Rochaikim Menu Harba, even if they're miles away. Athel Pisha Enum Bafanav. Even if they're not right in front of you, Sharpidam, it works fine. Okay, so two different views. Does the basin have to be there, or does the basin not have to be there? And I brought you the Shulchan Aruch, which seems to say, l'chadchila b'diyeved, ideally the basin does have to be there, but maybe b'diyeved the basin doesn't have to be there, and I'm not getting into all of the details here, but that's one angle. But then there's the question, you'll see this is important, what type of basin does it have to be? So look at number 24, this is fascinating. The Gemara says, Tashma, Da'ama Shmuel. Shmuel says in the Gemara, this is what I think about Prosbul. Loi kasvinan Prosbul, ela I bebedina de Surah or bebedina de Harda. If you're going to use a Prosbul, you better have the best based in the world. The based in Surah, which was the academies there in Babel, the based in Harda, those are the people that you need for your Prosbul. Kitakin Hillel, when Hillel said, okay, he said, Dari Alma, could go in Bay Din of the day. That's what he said, a based in like mine. You have to have a based in like mine in order to do a prosbul. Uka Rav Ami, for Rav Asi, or like Rav Ami and Rav Asi, also great Amorayim that lived a little bit later. De Alima, da Akui Mamona, that they have the power. Alim means that they have the power in order to extract money from people. Okay? It's funny, Alim with an Aleph means powerful, like extortion. You have power to take money, and alim with an ayin means leaves. Okay, so my daughter once said to me when she was like 11 or 12, she was very into baking, so she used to use batsek alim. Okay, which is phyllo pastry, because it's like leaves, but she thought it was with an aleph. So she thought it was violent pastry. So she said to me, I don't know if this is a silly question, but why do they call this batsek alim? Why is this violent pastry? So I looked at her, I couldn't work out what she was going to say. No, it's alim with an ayin, not alim with an aleph. So anyway, so just so you know the word alim. They have to be very forceful, a based in. But Shmuel says you can't use a regular based in. You certainly can't use three guys in the shul on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Tashma, because Shmuel said more, that I'm a Shmuel. Ha-prusbula, this prosbul, ulbana de dainihu. It's a disgrace for the dayanim. Ooh, he doesn't like the whole thing. If I had the strength, okay, I'll be glad then. I would be mevaklet. I would get rid of prosbul. I don't like it at all. So the Gemara says, "Avkleni, you'd get rid of it. You can't get rid of it. Why not? Ha'ein based in Yachal Levatal Divrei based in Chaveru Elaim Kain God Lehemad Bechochma Minyan. We have a principle, a mega principle, that a later based in can only override an earlier based in if they're greater in Chochma, in wisdom, and in Minyan, in support. And you're nowhere even close to Hillel. What do you mean? If I had the power, you could never override it. No, Hachikama. That's what he's saying. Ima Yashechal Yosem Hillel." If I was only more powerful than Hillel, then I would be bavakli. Meaning, I don't like the whole thing. But Rav Nachman says, no, I don't agree with you. Akaimena, I would establish it. I would support it. So the Gemara says, Akaimena, what do you mean you would support it? You don't need to support it. It's there already. No one needs your support. Hillel made it already. He says, no, it's already supported. It's already there. Hachikam, this is what he's saying. I would add something to it. You can even do it orally. But what you see there is that Shmuel is very negative about the whole process. Shmuel doesn't like Prosbul, and he says, you know something, you need the biggest Dayanim in the world. What's he trying to do? Is he trying to effectively say, you'll never get one. You'll never do one, because no one's going to have the time, because you need the top Dayanim, and therefore you won't make Prosbul. Good, I don't like it anyway. Or is he not saying that? Rambam seems to pass in like Shmuel, number 25. By the way, Shmuel was a Dayan. We have a principle in halacha, the halacha between Shmuel and Rav. We paskin like Rav on ritual matters, but we paskin like Shmuel on monetary matters, because Shmuel was a dayan. And he was a doctor, by the way. He was a doctor and a judge. A bit like Rabbi J. David Bleich, I think. You know, a top dayan, a top doctor, a top lawyer. Okay. By the way, that's one of the pshatim. Shmuel says, I know the shvilim of the sky. As he was an astronomer. Real, eclectic, eshkalot. What do they call that in English?
Renaissance man.
A Renaissance man, exactly. A Renaissance man, a thousand years before the Renaissance. Okay. He said, I know the shvilim of the astronomy, I know the paths of the stars, as well as I know the paths of Neher Dor. So I think Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said, why did he know the paths of Neher Dor so well? Because he was in Hatzalah. He was a doctor. That's the point. I need to know how to get to people in an emergency, so I know all the roads. And I know the skies as well as I know the roads. Interesting pshat. But Shmuel was a man who had many, many arrows to his quiver. Let's look at the Rambam, number 25. Passage like Shmuel. Ein kozvin prosbel ele chachamim gedolim, but Yosei, you need the best dino in the world. Unless, of course, you're a Talmud Chochim, which case you don't even need any. We said that. Kebeistin shel Rebbe Ami v'Rebbe Yasi sheheim ru'uyim lahavki amamun b'nei adam, aval shah bati dinim ein kozvin. Okay, that's a very strict halacha. No prosbel, effectively. 26, Rabbeinu Tam, the Rosh says, for Rabbeinu Tam, Kasav b'Sefer HaYashar, he quotes the Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer HaYashar, the B'Shvi'is Noegim b'Zman Hazeh, the Shvi'is is Noeg today, Ein Lichtav Prosbul b'Zman Hazeh, She'ein Anu Mumchim K'Rav Ami V'Rav Asi. Effectively, there is no Prosbul. In theory, there is, but in practice, you're never going to find the Dinah. Like the Rambam, says the Rosh, V'Shuv Chazar Bo Rabbeinu Tam. But then he went back on that psak. Because of who ba'atz my prosbul, and he himself wrote a prosbul, he hayayim because he changed his mind, and he said, "Beloy ba'inan ela based in chashev shebedor." You just need a chashev based in your generation. You don't need to have the most chashev based in the world. What is the Shulchan Aruch paskin? Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch number 27. Prosbul ainu mashamit. The prosbul doesn't release loads. The ainu netzav ela based in chashev. You have to have a chashev based in. The hainu shloish shebekim. You have to have three experts. Bedin in halacha. Be inyan prosbul. They know what they're doing. The yodim inyan shmita. They understand the technicalities. Not three regular Joes. But you don't need the Supreme Court. Okay. That the people have appointed them as dayanim. Comes along the Rama and says, no. The Yesh Omrin, the Kozvin, Prozbul, Bechol, Beistin. You can pick any three guys, it's fine. The Nirali, the Yesh Lahakal, Bezman Hazeh, and you can be Mekel. Don't forget, last week, the Rama brought a number of opinions that Shemitah's Kesafim doesn't even apply at all today. Remember, we said the Maharil and the Maharik and the Drumas Hadeshen said that the Minag is no one even worries about this at all. He says, no, but I think you should, but you can put any based in together. So what do we do? Do we go for the greatest based in or a regular based in? Do we go for a virtual based in Rome? Or do we go for a based in which is in front of us? Have a look at the back page, please. Look at the appendix before we move on to some concluding issues. This is the version of the document that Rav Rimon has in the back of his sefer. Rav Rimon is a world expert on Hilchos Shmita, has a book in English and Hebrew on it. Look at the English translation of the Prosbul. He says, the three of us were in session together. This is the Dayanim. And X, the creditor, came before us and said to us, this year is the Shemitah year, and I have outstanding debts in writing and verbal that are due from me from various people and or companies. I present you with a prosbul, and I declare that if the law in practice is that it's possible to arrange a prosbul, even not in the presence of the judges to whom it's being handed over, meaning if the law's like the Mordechai, and they can be the Beis Din in Rome, then if they don't even need to be here, then I may as well go for the best that there are. I hand over this prosbul and all outstanding debts to the Supreme Rabbinical Court in Jerusalem, to the judges XYZ, you name the chief rabbis and the judges. I authorize them to collect any outstanding debts that are due me. And from now on, they shall be my judges and collect them and receive them for me. And if they do not collect them from here forward, because I have presented you with this prosbul, I'll collect any debt that is due to me until this day from any person and any time I like. Right. So if the halacha is that I don't have to have the Beis Din right here, which was one issue, then I may as well be fulfill the opinion that I'm using the best Beis Din in the world. Because what harm does it do? But then he says, and if the law is that a prosbul is only effected after it's arranged in the presence of judges, I hand over this prosbul and all outstanding debts to you. Meaning, you have your cake and eat it. And there are different approaches to this. Okay, that sounds like a political question to me. I refer you to Tzohar, and you can speak to...
No, but I mean, there were big happenings.
No, 100%. 100%. Look, in Israel, let's say in Israel, then these are the greatest. But you don't have to pick them; you could pick others. So basically, it's very interesting. The Svardim basically take the view that they rely on the Mordechai, that it doesn't have to be in front of you, and therefore they go with the version that is the Supreme Court. The Ashkenazim would rather have the Beis Din present. And therefore, they rely on the view that it doesn't have to be the Supreme Court. And the wording of Rav Rimon is actually Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's wording, which basically allows you to have your cake and eat it. And you say, if the halach's like this, then it's the Beis Din in Yerushalayim. But if the halach's like this, then it's you, Nebach, it's you guys, and that's we'll manage with that. Okay? So it's very interesting how the prosbul works, but now you understand why it does what it does. Okay, let's talk about a couple of other issues. Yes, sir. I don't know. Generally, under I don't know the answer to that. Under a regular Beis Din procedure, well, maybe the question is this a real Beis Din procedure? In a normal din in a Beis Din, are the Dayanim allowed to charge? I don't know the answer to that question. I should know the answer. I'm not a Dayan. I don't know the what's the answer. They are or they aren't. But here, it may be that it's not even a Beis Din procedure, and therefore they can do what they like. I'm not sure. Interesting. Are you thinking you're making a living in this? It's only every 7 years, so it's not a regular income. So, okay, fine. There is a technical question, which I'm not going to dwell on now, in page 7, 28, 29, which is, what is the role of the Beis Din? Did the Beis Din step into your shoes and collect the loan because they own the loan? Or are the Beis Din your strong arm? Are they the enforcers? Do they take the role of the creditor? Do they take the role of the enforcer? That's a machlokas that goes. What about relatives? This goes to the point, really, which you were asking, kind of, what is it a real Beis Din? Normally, I'm not allowed to have relatives on the Beis Din. Or they're not allowed to be related to each other. But is this a real Beis Din? And in practice, many poskim say, even though some say that they shouldn't be related, many poskim are lenient, and I brought you here in the notes, Rav Rimon brings a story from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, where he basically put together a Beis Din for Shemitah, where the creditor was his grandson, and he was on the Beis Din, and his son-in-law was one of the other Dayanim. You can't get more possible than that. Everybody's related to everybody. Interestingly, I was asked to be an aid kiddushin a couple of weeks ago, where my wife is the first cousin of the mother of the chosen. Interesting. And they really wanted me to be one of the Eidei Kiddushin. Am I allowed to do that or am I not allowed to do that? So you can think about that and you can answer on a postcard, please. I didn't do it in the end, which is always the safer option, right? But it's not so safe because they really wanted me to, whatever. But I didn't do it. Okay, fine. Let's move on. When to make the prosbul we kind of talked about. We usually leave it till the very end of the year. Why? Because you'll catch all the loans that were made before the prosbul. Meaning if I make my prosbul today, and then I lend money tomorrow, then in theory, that money will be released. It's not covered by the prosbul. There are poskim that are more lenient, and they say no. Because a stam loan, a regular loan, if it didn't have a repayment date, you can assume it's payable within 30 days. You've got 30 days to repay. But if 30 days is the implied term in the loan, then it's repayable after Tishrei, so it's not released anyway. So maybe even if you made a prosbul today, it would still catch stam chovot, loans without a specific repayment date, but usually we leave it till the last minute. It's interesting, Rav Rimon made an announcement in Shul last week that women, we're going to talk about women in a second, women who are have their own businesses, women who have their own bank accounts, who have their own money, etc., should make a prosbul. Now, the minhag is to make the prosbul on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So, most women are busier on Erev Rosh Hashanah than most men. Yeah, you probably, unless everything's reversed. And therefore, he said, for the women, you don't have to leave until Erev Rosh Hashanah. We're going to have it. They're going to have a special women's Hataras Nadarim. And the Hataras Nadarim, like a week or so before Rosh Hashanah, they're going to do prosbul for the women that need prosbul. We'll talk about that in a second. One technical issue which you need to mention is land ownership. Do you need land in order? Does the debtor need to have land? Look at number 31. Tanan Hasam says the Gemara, Ein kosvin prosbul ela ala karka. You can only write a prosbul if, and he's talking about the borrower owns land. We'll see why in a minute. Im ein lo, but if he doesn't own land, maskehu betoch sadehu kolshehu, then the creditor can give them a little bit of land so that they have the land to make the prosbul work. But kama kolshehu, how much do they need to own? Amar Rav Chiya bar Ami, Rav Ashi, Amar Rav, afilu klach shel kruv, even one stalk of a cabbage. Yeah, one cabbage leaf is enough. Meaning, it's nominal. Why does the borrower have to own land? A couple of reasons. What Rashi says, because the rabbis made prosbul for a normal case. The rabbis don't make dinim on unusual cases. And normally, everybody owns some land. And we'll see that in halacha, you don't have to actually own it. Even if you're renting, that's good enough. Most people are not homeless. Most people have somewhere to sleep at night. Even a student in a dorm is enough ownership, and therefore they only made prosbul on that. Other people say no, it's because you have to be able to enforce it, and land makes a shibud. I'm not getting into that right now. The Shulchan Aruch rules, number 32, Ein kosvin prosbul ela ala karka, the borrower has to have land, afilu karka kol shehu sagi, and even a little bit will do. And there is a form of a prosbul that Rav Rimon brings in his book. If, in the unusual case, your borrower has nothing, no land at all, they're just like a vagrant or whatever, they just owe you money, then there's a form of words where you can give them a little bit of land and then they own a bit and the prosbul works, and then you have to make a kinyan. You don't normally have to make a kinyan, lift something up, but then you would. I'm not getting into that now. Let's talk about women. Why would there even be a shaila? You know, women are obligated in mitzvahs. So women are obligated in all negative mitzvahs in exactly the same way as men. Excluding three. Which are the three? Not to cut off the corners of the hair. If a woman wants to shave her head off, then she's perfectly at liberty to do that if she likes. Halachically anyway, I'm not so it's recommended. Shaving off the corners of your beard. If a woman wants to shave her beard off with a razor, then she's welcome to do that as well, whereas a man is not allowed to do that. And going onto a cemetery. If the woman is a kohenet, the woman is an Ashes Kohen or a Bas Kohen, she's allowed to become Tame, she's allowed to go. Otherwise, all negative mitzvahs are equally binding on women. So clearly, a woman is not allowed to enforce a loan, because that's a negative mitzvah. But what about the positive mitzvah to release the loan? Release, that's a positive mitzvah. And it's a positive time-bound mitzvah. Because it's only once every 7 years. So you'll say, oh, women don't have to make a prosbul. There's no mitzvah for them to release anything. And the answer is, very interestingly, the Rabbi Kiva Eger says, women are only exempted from positive time-bound mitzvahs. And there are lots of exceptions anyway. When the mitzvah requires an action. You don't have to sit in a sukkah. You don't have to wave a lulav, because that's an action. But when the mitzvah, the positive mitzvah requires, is a negative, like you have to release it, you have a mitzvah to release it, but you break the mitzvah by doing nothing, so there's no action involved in the same way, then you're not bound by that. Your mitzvah is by refraining, don't enforce the loan, refraining from the action, then you're obligated in the mitzvah. Therefore, everyone agrees, Lamaisa, women are obligated in the mitzvah of prosbul. If a husband and wife have a joint bank account, then he can do it or she can do it. The husband can do it for the wife if he wishes. If the woman has her own business, my wife runs a business, she's making her own prosbul. She has more need of a prosbul than I do. You know, I don't have much other than a few unpaid wages here and there. But my wife has lots of clients and stuff like that. She needs a prosbul. She'll make her own. She could appoint the husband to make one. He could write it into the contract. They can do that. But she can make her own if she wants. And Rav Rimon is actually putting together a prosbul with feminine words in it, so that it makes sense for women, like in grammatically as well. That's nice. Finally, just I bring you, there's a minhag of the Ben Ish Chai brings it down. That there's a minhag that even if you make a prosbul, you should lend someone a little bit of money afterwards and says, this is not included in the prosbul. so that you can at least do the mitzvah min haTorah of release, if it is mitzvah min haTorah, but or stock or whatever it is, of releasing the loan, which is not covered by the prosbul. Okay, so that's nice. You can do that too.
Is there an organization you can donate?
Yes. Yes, yes. There's all sorts of organizations that's connected with the mitzvah that you can give them money, and they'll give money to people to pay off their loan, and they'll donate food, and Mikimi, all sorts of people have done good things with this. Yes, sir.
So in Israel, with the banks and mortgages?
So we talked about that last week.
Oh.
No, it's fine. The banks and mortgages, you should still use a prosbul, make a prosbul for a Jewish bank and a Jewish customer, but it may not be included because the bank may itself not be a human being. Which is the feeling I get when I deal with the banks all the time. Okay? But the banks may be excluded from the, may not be released anyway because it's not like a re'ehu. But we talked about that last week. Anyway. Okay, we have to stop. It's 11:15. The electronic what? Online? Look, you have to ask the Shaila. I don't see any reason why in theory you couldn't do it online. Right. You ask a Shaila about whether you can do it online. You might not even need an actual based in there. Actually, the question is, can you rely on that? According to some opinions, you need to be in the presence of a based in, and online is not the presence of a based in. Right. Okay, you know. Okay. Hetzer Mechira we'll talk about next week. In Harama, Mechiras Chometz, etc. More to come, Be'ezrat Hashem.